Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
United Healthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at United Healthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Happy Tuesday. Welcome into Send It In, presented by BetMGM here on the BetQL Network. We continue our countdown to the college football season today. Chris Fetters joins us to talk about the Washington Huskies' life without Kellen DeBoer. What's that going to look like? We will talk about that with Chris here in moments. We will also, by ourselves, preview Washington, their upcoming season. We are in Scotland this week for the Genesis Open. We will preview that at the Renaissance Club. Also, we will dive into some baseball today and look at some soccer as well. We got the Euro semifinals between Spain and France kicking off today. And then Kate Constable joins us later in the show. We wrap everything up with our favorite plays for today. Any questions, comments, best bets, thoughts that you guys have for us, let us know. Twitch.tv/BetQL, YouTube/Odyssey Sports. And if you have any questions about the Washington Huskies or if you miss any part of the show, you can go check it out and the Send It In podcast, available wherever you get your podcast. Glasses in session. Let's go to the glass or guest line. We're checking in with the editor for dogman.com, Chris Fetters. Give me a follow on X at Chris_Fetters. And Chris, we were talking off air, and I'm an Alabama guy, so obviously Nick Saban retires, and it's just a bombshell throughout college football, and you're trying to figure out who Bama is going to replace Nick with. And Kellen DeBoer, this name kind of starts popping up, not right away, but over the next couple days. How surprised were people in Seattle that DeBoer ended up taking that job? When you heard about the Saban news, did you think that he was going to be a candidate right away?
Not right away. I think most of the smoke, as you probably remember, was towards Mike Norvell. And so, you know, the proximity, the programs, things like that, it seemed like on the surface that would have made a lot more sense. But knowing Kellen DeBoer, knowing his ambition, and the other piece of the puzzle that really started to fit in terms of DeBoer to Alabama was the fact that there was a hefty, hefty extension on the table from Washington that would have actually probably paid him at least as much as Jed Fish is making now, if not more. And he had kind of just put it off to the side while the team was making their 2023 championship run. And he had also hired the kind of the agent to the stars, Jimmy Sexton, who, you know, he's Saban's agent. Yep. He's Steve Sarkisian's agent. He's Norvell's agent. And so when you started to put kind of those pieces together, and he's talking about, yeah, I want to, you know, my focus is on the season. It's not on this extension. I'm going to worry about that once the season's done. And then once the season was done, it was like, okay, the feeding frenzy begins. You know, where is Washington going to be on this kind of coaching food chain as guys get swallowed up, as other programs start to look around? And, you know, the game was on a Monday, and I think by Friday he was named the Alabama head coach. It goes that fast.
It certainly does. And you bring up Jed Fish and a great season he had last year in Tucson with Arizona. So he replaces DeBoer at Washington. What have been the impressions around the program so far with Jed Fish?
Very positive. I mean, he knew right away. I mean, they started with less than 50 scholarship players when you look at all the guys that went to the NFL draft, the other graduates, any retirees, guys going to the portal. They lost 20 of their 22 starters in the national championship game against Michigan. The only two guys that came back were Elijah Jackson, who had the tip at the end of the Texas game to get them to the championship game, and the one of the starting linebackers, Alfonso Tupatala. Everyone else is gone from the 2023 team. Going to be completely unrecognizable. So Fish knew right away when he came in, the thing he had to do was recruit and recruit his butt off with his staff. And they've done a fantastic job. I mean, when it comes to the portal, when it comes to digging guys where they had them at Arizona and bringing a bunch of guys like Jonah Coleman and Fecius Prysock, guys like that coming up from Tucson to Seattle was a big move. And then also finishing off the recruiting class for 2024 was also a huge priority, trying to get that February signing day taken care of, and also big in the portal, trying to get a ton of portal guys too. So they really had a number of buckets that he had to recruit from. I think he's done a really nice job of it. But now the next step is, how can he get all these guys on the same page together, operating as one unit? That's going to be the real tale. But, you know, given his NFL experience, given his pro pedigree and the guys that he's brought on board in terms of their assistant coaches, I think he's done a good job so far of trying to get that message across. And, you know, we'll obviously see what happens come August 31st when they play Weber State in that game one.
And Chris, as you know, I mean, that offense last year was as good as it gets. Really, the last 2 years under Kellen DeBoer, really good in Seattle. You mentioned 20 of the 22 starters they're replacing, including Penix at quarterback, those great receivers that they had, Adunze and McMillan being the top two, and then they got to replace all five of their offensive linemen. On offense, which area is most of concern for you? Would it be the quarterback position with Will Rogers taking over, trying to replace those great receivers, or all five of your offensive linemen from last year?
Well, typically, when you lose the Heisman Trophy runner-up like they did in Michael Penix Jr., that would be your starting point, but it really begins and ends with the offensive line, guys. I just took count before I came on the show this morning. Washington lost 10 offensive linemen from last year's class. When you look, so they lost all five starters. Their two tackles went in the NFL draft, Roger Rosengarten and Troy Fautanu. Both their inside guards in terms of Julius Bulow and Nate Kaleppo both went to Ole Miss. And then their center, Parker Brailsford, ended up going with Kalen DeBoer to Alabama. But in a weird kind of quirk, the offensive line coach last year for Washington, Scott Huff, he left to go to Alabama and then immediately turned around when Mike McDonald got hired by the Seattle Seahawks and came back to Seattle with Ryan Grubb, the offensive coordinator, to be on his offensive staff, McDonald's staff. So much changeover, but the offensive line, you lose all five starters, and then you lose some key backups. Garen Hatchett went to Oklahoma. Jalen Clem went to Arizona State. And you've got some guys that retired. And, you know, losing 10 offensive linemen, never seen it before in an offensive line class. Never in my life. And so to literally almost start from scratch, and then on top of it, during this spring ball, the two most experienced offensive linemen that they had coming back in Garen's brother, Landon Hatchett, and guard Memelar, they were both banged up to the point where they couldn't even really participate and put pads on. They had to do just all their conditioning and some work off to the side. They really didn't do much. So the question marks really begin and end on the offensive line. How are they going to coalesce? How are they going to put that together with Brennan Carroll? The one thing I will say in Brennan Carroll's credit, that he showed that he will play true freshman at the University of Arizona and they will have some success. So how quickly they put that offensive line together so they give Will Rogers some protection, you know, protect his blind side, do what they've got to do in the run game, because Jonah Coleman has shown at Arizona that he can be a productive running back. They've got some good pieces still at Washington. They recruited really well. DeBoer's staff recruited well in the 2 years that he was there to kind of keep the cupboard somewhat stocked. But with the portal and everything else moving at the way it does now and losing 10 offensive linemen, it's absolutely critical that OL come together in a big way in this summer and going into fall camp so they can give Will Rogers and give those skill guys something to work with.
And Chris, right now, BetMGM Vegas, they have the Huskies win total for the upcoming season at 6.5. And obviously, they're making the transition from the Pac-12 to the new Big Ten. I do think it's interesting. Washington's schedule this year, three of their final four games are against Pac-12 opponents, right? So they're playing UCLA, they're playing USC, they're playing Oregon. There will be some familiarity there. Road schedule is a little difficult. Have to make some trips to Iowa, Penn State, and that Oregon game. Overall, though, year one, a Jed Fish, if you had to take over or under 6.5 wins with the Huskies, which way would you go?
Yeah, 6.5. Well, Vegas is good for a reason, right? I mean, they're trying to get the equal betting on both sides. And I can see the arguments for both. And right now, you know, 7-5 looks doable. 6-6 also looks pretty doable, because if you look at their schedule right now, they've got their three non-conference games, including that Apple Cup game at Lumen Field against Washington State. They should start the season 4-0 if you include the home opener against Northwestern. After that, they go on the road to Rutgers. And then, as you guys said, they have Penn State on the road. They got Oregon on the road. They've got both USC and UCLA coming to Husky Stadium. Those are never going to be easy games. And then, obviously, at Iowa, at Indiana, you know, they've got some tough games. And it's so funny, too, guys, because that national championship game with Michigan, everyone should have been circling that. That would be the game of the season in any normal year. But both teams are going to be so unrecognizable from the teams that played in that national championship game. It's almost now an afterthought. No one's really, you know, picking it as a monster game, a must-see game. So I see both sides. I can see 6-6. I can see 7-5. I think I'm leaning towards 7-5 as an early pick for me. But they're going to have to win a game or two that maybe people don't expect. And again, like I've seen them go to Rutgers and win games. But that Rutgers team this year, I think it's going to sneak up on some people. I think they've got some talent. I think they're going to surprise people. So, again, I see both sides. I hate to kind of hedge it. But let's say over, but with the knowledge that 6-6 looks pretty doable too.
Look, it's all good. Like you said, this is why Vegas is good at what they do. 6.5 feels like the perfect number. Could make a case for the over or the under. He's Chris Fetters. Give him a follow on X at Chris_Fetters, editor for Dogman.com, joining us here on Send It In. Chris, really appreciate the time, man. Have a great season, and hopefully we'll catch up throughout.
Okay, anytime, guys.
All right, really good stuff. Chris Fetters there. Talking some Washington Huskies. Now it is time for us to break down the Huskies for the upcoming season. I thought Chris made a really good point, right? As you can see right now, if you're watching on Twitch and YouTube, we get a national championship rematch on October 5th between Michigan and Washington. And we might never, ever see this again, where there's a rematch between two schools and both schools have different head coaches, right? No more Harbaugh, no more DeBoer. Kind of crazy. But like I said when I was talking with Chris, what interests me about Washington's schedule, look at their final four opponents that they play. USC, Penn State, UCLA, and then a bye week right before they face Oregon. I think for a team like Washington, who, again, this win total at 6.5 is probably going to come right down to the wire, the fact that they're going to be playing three of their last four games against teams that they're very familiar with, I think that's a big advantage there for Washington. They get USC at home, Penn State, no doubt about it. It's going to be a really tough game, especially the travel, right? All the way on the West Coast, got to travel all the way to Happy Valley. And then UCLA, they're going to be in a rebuilding year. Bye week, kind of regroup before going up to Eugene and trying to beat the Ducks. I would probably go over with Washington as well. That Michigan game at home, I think they could potentially win that as well. Look, they're replacing 20 of their 22 starters in college football. I don't know how many times I've ever seen that. Jed Fish proved, though, that with Arizona, he's a really good coach, and he can build a very good program. He did a good job of bringing some guys in the portal. That coaching staff is still pretty good as well. Anytime you're switching conferences, it's going to be an adjustment, especially when you're going from a league like the Pac-12 that we know is known for not having the greatest defenses, is more of an offensive league. They're known for some nice weather out there in certain parts of the country with the LA schools and the Arizona schools. Now you're going to the Big Ten. But again, their schedule, yeah, you got to travel to Bloomington and face Indiana at the end of October. That could be a tough weather game. Penn State, certainly in November, that could be a tough weather game. Outside of that, though, you're playing USC, UCLA at home, at Oregon. Those are trips that you are used to. So I think the schedule's pretty favorable. I think a lot of people, too, when we get these teams in college football like we had with TCU last year, where they go on a magical run, make it to the college football national championship game, everybody kind of knew that was a one-off. That was their one year where everything came together. I think a lot of people just expect that Washington, much like TCU, is just going to kind of fall off. And no doubt, they're going to have some regression. They're not winning the national championship this year. They're not winning the Big Ten. They're not making the college football playoff. But I do think they will be more competitive than people realize. Jed Fish is a very good coach. I think they could win some games maybe that we don't expect them to. And that is a big home field advantage they have out in Seattle, especially with all those Midwest schools in the Big Ten having to travel out and play the Huskies. So I would lean over 6.5 wins for Washington. I think there's a good chance that they win 7, maybe even 8 games for the upcoming season. All right, let's talk some soccer. We got the semifinals in Euro 2024 getting underway today. Kicking off at 3 p.m. Eastern time, we got Spain and France. Spain's plus 170 to win in regulation. France is plus 200. The draw is plus 180, and that is what I am looking at. There are actually 3 bets I like in this game today. The first one is going to be for the draw at plus 180. What's been crazy about France so far in the Euros is they have not scored a goal in open play. They have 2 own goals, and then they have a penalty kick. Those are the only 3 goals that they have scored the entire tournament, which is crazy for some of those names. Obviously, Mbappe being the big one that they have on offense, but their defense has been terrific this tournament, and they get the ultimate test today going against Spain, who has by far looked like the best team in the tournament. They've scored more goals than anybody. They've been absolutely excellent, and they just had a great win against Germany in the quarterfinals, coming in with all this momentum. I do think this is going to be a 1-1 game, though, going into extra time, which is another reason why my second bet that I like is for both teams to score at plus 110. Because France has had so much trouble scoring, and they've been so good at not conceding any goals, I think a lot of people think this might be a 1-0, maybe even a 2-0 type game. I think it's going to be 1-1 heading into extra time. So both teams to score, I like that as well. But I'm on Spain to qualify at minus 135. I think Spain gets it done. I think they advance to the final. They're the best team right now in the Euros, and I think they get past France today. As for tomorrow's game, guys, if you've been listening to the show the last couple weeks, you know England has been, they've been the vibes team of the tournament so far, right? Just the way that they're winning games. When you're in these tournaments, when you get to the knockout round, when you're in these one-and-done type fields, and you keep winning games the way that England has, where you score in the last minute of stoppage time, where Switzerland scores in the 75th minute, and then you immediately answer right back in the 80th minute. England is doing very not England things that we normally see out of them. And the penalty kicks that they've been taking, those penalties that they had against Switzerland, all 5 of them, absolutely ridiculous. So this game, again, I love the draw at plus 180. I think you guys are best off betting the draw in both of these games. Spain, France, England, Netherlands, because I think one of them for sure is hitting. And with both of them being at plus 180, if just one of them hit, we're making profit. So love the draw in that game as well. And then I also like England to qualify at minus 130. England's got all the good juju right now, all the good mojo. The vibes are strong. I'll take England at minus 130 to qualify. So I got an England and Spain final. As for Copa America, we got a Copa game tonight between Argentina and Canada. I'm looking at the total under 2.5 at minus 120. These teams played the very first game of the tournament, and Argentina won 2-0. Argentina's offense hasn't been very good. Defense has been good, haven't conceded many goals. Canada's offense was very good in their last couple games, but I just think this is going to be a lower scoring game, right? Canada's very well coached. They know that they have nowhere near the talent that Argentina does. Their chance to upset Argentina, who's a huge favorite, by the way, minus 300 to win in regulation, while Canada is plus 900. They got to park the bus. They got to make this game ugly. They got to try and make it a 0-0, 1-1 type game going into extra time, take their chances in PKs. That's Canada's. That's their path to success in this game. Just think the total at 2.5 is too high. So, in fact, we're only getting minus 120 on the under. I like that quite a bit. And then Colombia and Uruguay, of all the 4 games that we have, this is the one that I have no thought on. Absolutely no thought. You could convince me on Colombia. You could convince me on Uruguay. I think at the end of the day, the draw is the best bet on the board at plus 188. Colombia is plus 180 to win this game in regulation. Uruguay is plus 185. It's pretty much a coin toss. And that's the way this game, I expect it to be played out. The over-under in this game is 1.5. It is juiced to the over, minus 200. But both of these teams are so similar. I mean, it feels like this game is going to extra time. We're probably headed to PK, so I'll take the draw plus 188 between Uruguay and Colombia. All right, it's a Tee It Up Tuesday. Let's talk some golf here on Send It In. We got the Genesis Scottish Open at the Renaissance Club this week out in Scotland. Par 70 golf course, 7,237 yards. Now, it's a par 70, but it's a little more, it's a little different than what we're used to. We have three par fives on this golf course, five par threes on this golf course, and 10 par fours. This is the sixth time now that the DP World Tour and the PGA Tour have combined this event, co-sanctioned this event to make it a PGA Tour event. So that's why they got such a great field. Rory's in the field, Xander, Morikawa, Ludwig, Tommy Fleetwood, Victor Hovland, a lot of big names this week. And anytime you're dealing with the Scottish course, for the most part, the biggest defense is always going to be the wind. A lot of these great courses that they play in Scotland are always going to be on coastline type golf courses. They're always going to be right off of the ocean. And if the wind's blowing, if the rain's blowing, it could be really, really tough test of golf. To give you guys an idea of just how drastic the scores can be at this event, at this course, when the wind is blowing and when it's not, we've had winners here in the past win with the score of 22 under par. And then we've also had winners here in the past win at 7 under par. And if you know anything about weather across the pond in the UK, whatever it may be, Scotland, there's just no tracking it. I mean, it can flip on an absolute dime. So you got to always account for that, and you got to make sure that you back golfers that can certainly play in that stuff, because you would think over the course of 4 days, probably going to be some kind of weather that those guys are going to have to deal with. Stuff that I'm looking for this week, got to have guys that are good stroke gained approach, have to have accurate iron players that can play in the wind, close proximity to the hole. That is huge. This course also has favored longer hitters, so strokes gained off the tee is going to be important. Tight fairways at the Renaissance Club. Obviously, there's pot bunkering now that we're playing links golf and we're over in Scotland. But if you can hit your drives a long way, you've had a big advantage on the field. At least that's what history has told us. And speaking of history, course history is a big factor here as well. Guys who tend to play here tend to play pretty well here year after year. So looking for good iron players, looking for guys that are long off the tee, looking for good lag putters as well, because we're on a links golf course, and then also want guys that have had pretty good course history at this place as well. We're going to start with my first bet. It's going to be Ludwig Åberg at 16-1. Ludwig's long off the tee. He's an incredible iron player, and I just think he's kind of getting slept on right now, right? A lot of people are going to be talking about Rory because the last time we saw him, he melted down at the U.S. Open. Xander is a past champion here as well. But I think Ludwig's ability off the tee in his iron game, and Pinehurst is a good comp to this golf course. I think Ludwig is a guy that I would watch for. Favorite bet of the week, though, is going to be Tom Kim at 25-1. Tom Kim has played this golf course two times. He's finished sixth and third at this course. He's a great links golf player, and he is in excellent form right now. Nearly won the Travelers Championship 3 weeks ago. He had played nine straight events. He was the favorite at the Rocket Mortgage Classic, missed the cut, took off last week. I think Tom Kim regroups, goes to a golf course that he's played very well, like Tom Kim at 25-1. Corey Connors is another guy that I would look at 45-1. Another excellent iron player, long off the tee, finished 19th here last year. I'll go Corey Connors. And then my long shot's going to be Matthew Pavone at 66-1. Pavone has played really well this year on tough golf courses and great fields. Won at Torrey Pines, third at Pebble Beach, tied for 12th at the Masters, fifth at the U.S. Open, tied for 16th at the Travelers. I mean, these are elevated events. These are major championships. Excellent golfers in the field, and Pavone has held his own. He's a great putter, great lag putter on links-style golf courses, good iron player as well. Matthew Pavone, my long shot this week at 66-1. Let's go to Model Making Money now. Check in with Kate Constable, who is standing by here on a Tuesday. And Kate, what are the five-star plays that BetQL has for us today?
Hey, BJ. Yeah, five-star plays on the diamond today. We have the Diamondbacks and the Braves. The model likes the over 7.5 runs. Kind of a lower total. Makes sense, though. We have Zach Gallen going up against Chris Sale. Both of those pitchers have been great lately. But both these offenses have also been pretty decent, scoring a number of runs in each of their last couple of games over the last week or so. So the over is the five-star play, over 7.5 runs tonight in Diamondbacks and Braves.
All right, Chris Sale versus Zach Gallen on the mound. So good pitching matchup, but the model is liking the over. Kate, what about yourself? What do you like for tonight?
Yeah, I like the Mets on the money line. Mets have struggled a little bit lately, so they could use a win. Jake Irvin is pitching for the Nats, and these two teams just played at the beginning of this month over the 4th of July. So, I mean, Irving faced this lineup on July 4th, was fantastic. Pitched 8 innings, 8 strikeouts, only 1 hit, but he's facing that same lineup again within a week. And I, you know, when a pitcher faces a lineup twice in this short of a period of time, I tend to think that kind of is better for the offense. So I think the Mets just having that familiarity so recent after seeing Irvin that they're going to be able to put up some runs today, get some hits, not strike out quite as much. Plus, Irving's strikeout prop right now is 5.5, and it's heavily juiced to the under, minus I believe it's like minus 155 to the under there. So the market's kind of telling us that he's not going to have quite as many strikeouts or as good of an evening in his as his last outing against the Mets. So I will take New York on the money line tonight.
I like it. Kate, the Mets have also dominated the Nationals this season, so I think that is good play. NBA Summer League is starting to happen the last couple days. Zach Edey was a big talk yesterday for his performance. What have been your impressions so far, Kate, of NBA Summer League? Has anything stood out to you?
Honestly, PJ, it's been kind of underwhelming. I feel like I don't know many of the players right now. And I know, I mean, all the players that were just drafted for the most part are playing, but it's felt like in years past we've had bigger names that's been just more of a draw. And maybe that'll come once we get to the Vegas Summer League. You know, that's the big one, and everyone is going to be playing in that one, plus a lot of, you know, second-year players, sophomore players, where that's when I'll look to bet the more experienced teams. So whichever roster has the older players or players that have had a year in the NBA and are coming back to play Summer League, like, those are the teams that I'm going to look to bet on, just because they'll have that poise, the comfortability of playing in this last year. So I haven't really done a whole lot of betting on it quite yet, but once Vegas comes around, I believe that starts on the 12th. That's going to be something I'm looking for. And if Bronny James, if they put up any lines on his unders, I'm taking all of the unders, because I was underwhelmed in his debut, although the expectations weren't all that high. I mean, I do feel for the kid. He's got, like, you know, the world watching him and criticizing his every move. But hey, as a bettor, if I can find some value taking the under on Bronny, regardless of the prop, I am probably going to do that.
I like where your head's at, Kate. I'll be right there with you. Before I let you go, you are a Bulls fan. DeMar DeRozan is joining the Sacramento Kings. I think that Pacific Division, Kate, is really interesting with the Kings, the Suns, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Warriors. You got four aging teams with Hall of Fame, all-time great players. Then you got this young Kings team who had a veteran in DeMar DeRozan. They're plus 350 right now to win that division. Do you like Sacramento in the Pacific?
I do, PJ, and I love Sacramento in the Pacific last year too, and DeMar only helps my case, but the case I made last year is, you mentioned it, all the other teams in this division, they're older, have aging players that are going to rest. They don't care about winning the division. All they care about is getting into the playoffs and winning an NBA title. So I think we're going to see a competitive Kings team. Obviously, the king of the fourth, DeMar DeRozan, he adds to that, so I certainly think it's worth a look at the Kings to win that division at plus 350.
I like it. She's Kate Constable. Join us here every Tuesday on Send It In. Kate, appreciate the time, and we'll talk again soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, PJ.
For those people who want to continue to bet but don't have the time to research each individual game, you need to download the BetQL app. It ranks each game on a 1-to-5-star scale based on its unbeatable analysis. From spreads and over-unders to player props, stay up to date and bet confidently with BetQL's help. All right, guys, couple minutes left to go in the show. We're starting things off with going streaking. And this one might surprise you. We got Zach Wheeler on the bump today for the Philadelphia Phillies. And I'm going with the Dodgers hitter. And that is Freddie Freeman, who is a ridiculous 21 for 51 off of Zach Wheeler. Obviously, plenty of battles when Wheeler was on the Mets. Freddie was on the Braves. Freddie Freeman's bat 412 against Zach Wheeler. 21 for 51. Too hard to ignore. Freddie Freeman's my guy today in going streaking. My prop lock's going to be Eric Fetty under 5.5 hits allowed at minus 110. White Sox are the worst team in baseball. They're absolutely gross. But the two bright spots this year, Garrett Crochet, Eric Fetty. Under 5.5 hits allowed for Fetty, who's gone under that in his last three starts. I will hope that he makes it a fourth straight. That's my prop lock. Dog of the day is going to be the D-backs plus 100. Zach Gallen at home against Chris Sale and the Braves. Sale's been incredible this year. obviously. I expect some regression to hit, though. Gallen historically has been awesome for Arizona at home. I'll take the D-backs, my dog of the day. Shawnee Sharp, give the people a winner. What do you got?
Yeah, Peach, I'm going to go with Kylian Mbappe to score an anytime goal. He's had a lot of shots and a couple on target the past couple matches here, and I think if France wants any chance here to go to the final at the Euros, he needs to find the back of the net.
Very good. Getting a nice price there. Plus 195 with Mbappe to score a goal. I will stick with the Euros and go to Spain to qualify as my best bet. Minus 125 against France. Spain's the best team in the tournament. I know a lot of people think that maybe the matchup for France could be a good one for them and they could get by. But right now, what I'm watching, Spain is on a different tier than kind of everybody else. So it's not going to be easy. I think this game probably goes to penalties. I'll take Spain to advance minus 125. Once again, our favorite plays for today, Freddie Freeman off Zach Wheeler, 21 for 51 in his career. We'll take Freddie to get a base hit and going streaking. Eric Fetty, under 5.5 hits allowed, is going to be our prop lock. D-backs plus 100 against the Braves and Chris Sales, our dog of the day. And Spain to qualify at minus 125. It's going to be my best bet today against France. Thanks again to Chris Fetters, Kate Constable for joining the show. If you missed any part of it, if you missed our talk on the Washington Huskies, go check out the Send It In podcast available wherever you get your podcast. Brad Thomas joins us tomorrow. We'll see you guys then.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
UnitedHealthcare nurse Crystal checked in on a patient.
We do a routine call after surgery, and I could tell in her voice that she was struggling.
Crystal knew she needed help.
And I knew that this is very serious. This is like septic. This is life-threatening.
And she knew just what to do.
And I called the hospital and said, she's coming in. Here are her labs.
And got her the help she needed.
I see my role at UnitedHealthcare as a life-saving role.
Hear more stories like Crystal's at UHC.com. Benefits, features, and or devices vary by plan area. Limitation and exclusions apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your healthcare? At Redeem HealthShare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at RedeemHealthShare.org.